All right, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are going to be covering conference call number 4 tonight, which is talking about following up with your leads and with your clients. We are going to go over some ideas on what works the best and perhaps give you some tips on what you should be sending out to your clients on a monthly basis or how often, what to send out when you are following up with your leads. So tonight should be a good session. If you need some help in executing on some of the concepts we're going to be talking about tonight, you are welcome to email me at Rochelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, at bestchoicerealtywa.com. Some of you could use some additional eyeballs on some of your emails, and you know, I'm certainly willing to be a set of eyes for you. You may want to CC me on an email that you've created to prospect for clients. And again, I'd be happy to critique it or give you some advice. All right, we're going to talk about newsletters first to get started. Part of being fanatical about your lead follow-up is making sure that there's something constantly going out, constant contact that's taking place with your clients or your database. A lot of clients, they don't see your name or work with you on a regular basis, so having that branding or that constant contact is oftentimes very helpful. So there are a lot of e-newsletters out there, and we've tested many of them, and we found two that work really well. One is called housesender.com, H-O-U-S-E-S-E-N-D-E-R.com. That is the system that I use to send out to my database of leads. And what it does is it creates all the content for me, and for a fee of $25 a month, and you can sign up and get a second month free and see a sample newsletter by just going to their website, housesender.com. But this newsletter is something I don't have to really think about. I upload my email addresses into the system. They create the newsletter, and what I like about this particular program is that it is trackable. The leads are able to click links, see my listings. They're able to get information. The data is local, and it does look nice when it goes out. So there is an opportunity for you to work with that company if you need some sort of online real estate newsletter where you have visibility of who's clicked it, who's opted out, that type of thing to get that out. The other one that we use is a really good system, and one of our top producers uses this on a regular basis, and she has found that it works well because she's able to put her own personal message and then provide a link to her newsletter. And she's very, very good at her consistency on this. So I'm going to read what she sent out to me. I'm one of her email newsletters for, instead of $25 a month, I believe it's $15 a month for this type of presentation. They brand it for you. They give it a nice look. The company, if you want to check them out tonight, is anypresentations.com, anypresentations.com. And for $15 a month, they manage and create this really nice presentable link that you can insert into your emails that will give them a newsletter of what's going on in the marketplace, little tips and tricks. Her newsletter has three factors to determine real estate comparables, first-time buyers, it's connected to her Twitter, her Facebook, and her website, and really makes her stand out amongst her peers. So if you need a sample of that particular newsletter that I'm referring to tonight, you're certainly welcome to email me, and I'll be happy to forward her newsletter over to you. But she is paying less than I am every month and probably getting the same, if not better, results. So because of her personal messaging that she includes along with the newsletter. So her personal message, and I think it's really good, she's taking information that's really pertinent to the county that she works on, and every month the Northwest MLS puts together an update, a press release, on what's going on in the marketplace. And some of the messaging that she's using is taken from that press release from the Northwest MLS. So you're certainly welcome to take that. You pay your dues every month with the MLS, And there are some good stats that you can provide to your clients in this monthly e-newsletter. So what she said to me just a few days ago, she sends it out mid-month every month, is, "Dear Rochelle, we are continuing to see double-digit median price increases year over year, and we expect the median price to increase throughout the fall. We also continue to be plagued with low inventory. Sales should be robust until a typical slowdown from November to January. We're anticipating an interest rate increase after the Federal Reserve Board meeting September 20th and 21st. The median sold price for Pierce County single-family residence was $285 last month, just about a 12% increase from last year, and less than 2 months of inventory on the market. The median price sold for condos in Pierce County last month was $196,500, which was more than 13% higher than last year." And again, she quotes the source, the Northwest MLS. So she also, these are just a few tidbits from my newsletter this month. Please click on the link below to view my newsletter. Let me know if I can be of service to you. And then she put Go Hawks. So very personal sounding, but also very data driven. A lot of the clients that are looking for information from you on a regular basis is looking for some statistics regarding the marketplace, on how they should make their moves or how they should do their investments. And so when Kay, I'm going to just let you know who it is, when Kay sends us out every month, she does get a really good response rate. Some people say, "I'm not interested this month. Thank you for sending this." That's the type of good branding that she's doing on a monthly basis that I think helps her overall business grow. And it's very simply done through the system that she has, and she just does it through her CRM system that she's using. When we talk about newsletters, and then there's also emails that are called batch emails. We alluded to it last week when we discussed how you could use a third-party syndication where you could actually take all of your leads and put them into a system that would email or blast them out emails. Be very careful of what they call batch emails. The reason why our system Real Geeks does not use that system within the system is because oftentimes you'll get blocked or you'll be considered spam. So be sure you're really checking in to make sure that the email system that you're using for your batch email or your newsletter is a system that does provide results. If you have not received results, chances are it's going right into the spam box of all of the clients you're sending to. And email deliverability is a huge issue right now as we look at what providers work and which do work. And the two that I have alluded to tonight work very well. So again, those are the two I would recommend if you're looking for recommendations. When you think about your marketing, you also want that newsletter to go out every month to all of your clients, but you also may want to think about a target marketing approach. First, you want to identify your target. Maybe you have, like we discussed earlier on another prior call, you have different segments of the marketplace. Perhaps your luxury buyers may want something different than, say, your first-time buyers. When you target market, you may want to identify your targets and create emails related around those targets. Maybe you're only wanting to email a certain neighborhood, or maybe you're emailing your quilting group and you have a different type of message with like a image embedded into the email. Some of those types of targeted marketing work really well if done right. So you may want to think about that as you're creating your newsletter or your email approach, is that you may want to break up your big list of, say, 500 clients that are in your database and maybe segment it so that you're personalizing and marketing in a very targeted way. Speaking of targeting marketing, we talked last week, I think we left off where you really wanted to determine if your buyers are ready, willing, and able, and bucketing them that way. Meaning that you've had a conversation with that lead. So they're not just a lead that you met at the grocery store or some lead that you got from the website. They are somebody that you have had interaction with, and they have answered questions around, are they ready, are they willing, and are they able? And you may want to put a tag or categorize them in some sort of fashion so that you communicate with those people on a more regular, more frequent basis. Meaning the hot leads, you're maybe going to send them listings or, you know, find something on the MLS that intrigues them. And your hot leads, one of the good ideas I used a lot when I was selling, and I still do, when my friends or my neighbors are looking for a property and we're in that hot category, meaning they're ready, they're willing, and they're able, we just need to find the property. Oh, what I'll do is I'll send them an email, and the subject line will have the address, something that will pique their interest, and say, "Hi, Debbie, I found this listing. I was wondering what you thought about it." That could be a simple email that gets sent out where it almost puts yourself in the driver's seat and driving the search process for the client. Now, they may respond to your email and say, "Thanks, Rochelle, for, you know, sending that one to me. We actually already took a look at that one," or "it doesn't have enough yard space in the backyard for what our family needs." I mean, I may get some response, but you know what? It's the engagement and how you engage that's really important for those buyers. So that's just an example of a hot email that I've sent out where it's just, "Hey, I found this property that you may be interested in." An example of a warm email that I've sent out that has worked really well, again, this is somebody who has expressed interest, they're willing to talk with me, but maybe they're not quite ready to go out and look at properties because they're not pre-approved yet. But I know they're looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in a certain area or a certain zip code. And with that, I don't want to lose track of them. So you want to really engage them with some sort of warm email follow-up. So on average, I would send those particular clients in that bucket or category, I would send them an email every other week, meaning I wouldn't be doing this every week, although that they're probably getting emails from me every week automatically through the home notification system that I've set up for them. But I'm talking about a personal email, something where I've taken the time to sit down and create something on their behalf and sent out an email requesting some sort of response. When I'm engaging with a buyer, especially around the home search process, I'm going to want to check in a couple times a month with those warm leads. If I don't check in enough, oftentimes they'll feel like I'm too busy to help them. Or if I check in too much, like it's every day, they're like, "Wow, whoa, you know, stop right there. You know, I'm not ready that. I've still got to meet with the lender. I've still got things to do." So you don't want to appear too pushy, but you also don't want to lose the lead or the client. So a warm lead would generate an email, a personal email for me on an every other week type basis until they're ready to go into hot. Something that I would send out to them would be something to the effect of just wanted to check in with you and follow up on your conversation you've had with XYZ or whatever lender I recommended. And then what I'd want to do is in that email provide something of value to them. When you create emails, you want to make sure that you have you're providing value, but you're also providing a call to action, some sort of reason for them to respond to your email. It's nice to get emails that say, you know, "Happy birthday, thinking of you," but there's not really a good way for that email for that receiver to actually want to say something back. You know, they could certainly say thank you, but it might be more engaging if you were to say, "Hey, just wanted to reach out and say happy birthday to you and wanted to check in also on your home search. What type of properties have you found that interest you the most?" Again, I'm trying to engage them with my question. It doesn't necessarily have to be a question. It can be a statement, but it's some sort of call to action, some sort of reason for that buyer or that client to respond to your email. I always teach my agents that are working on emails and getting better at corresponding via email that they need to be more engaging and they need to provide value, but also provide ways for the receiver to actually respond to it. So it could be as simply as taking your emails that you may not have gotten responses to and providing some sort of call to action or some sort of reason for them to contact you back. When you're talking about email threats going back and forth, I email one person, they say something back to me, you want to be the end of the thread. And what I mean by that is you want to be the one to say, "Thanks so much." You want to be the one that's gathering the information and not the one that's having to say just thank you. So be the end of the thread is what I would call that. Also on the willing, a simple text message, you know, so maybe I'm doing 2 personal contacts a month, one of my personal contacts could be an email, and I have tried where I have actually inserted, instead of an email, I have inserted a text into that second personal contact, and I found very good success with that. Some people actually prefer that, and once I give them the way to do that, and I say, hey, would you like me to follow up with you by text? Even a simple text like that, they're all over that. And that sometimes improves my communication follow-up plan by moving them from warm to hot, by changing the way I communicate with them. So when you first meet with somebody or when you first connect with a client, that might be a suggestion that I would give to you, is find out how they best like to communicate. Some of the younger generation, they love the text message. Even some of the older generation likes texting. But you may want to get their approval, and that's the best form for them to communicate with you. I've even had a husband and a wife where, you know, I've been communicating only with the husband in regards to being a warm lead, you know, somebody that's interested but not completely, you know, bought in to go look at homes. Once I get them connected with the lender, all of a sudden he goes into hot, and at the point where we go into the hot category, he says, let's make sure, you know, my wife Jill is on the text message loop. And he goes ahead and we put a text message loop together so that all the communication is between all three of us rather than just with the husband. So there are some ways and to deal with that. If you need some additional help on what text messages to send to move that lead from warm to hot, I'm happy to help with that. It's kind of an uncharted territory, and there's a lot that goes into it. But I think that there's some strategy that we can discuss one-on-one if you ever have a problem with your text messaging communication. When you follow up with your monthly cold leads, just like Kay did when she sent out her monthly newsletter, it could be simply just, you know, I was thinking about you. I wanted to check in and see if things have progressed. One of the best emails that I've used when it starts to get into the fall-winter season, I like to basically do checkup. You know, that would be the subject line. And the checkup is basically wanted to check in with you and find out if you had any plans for moving or selling in the 2017. And that's a way for you to actually time manage and make sure that you're connecting with the right people. But if you're sending some sort of message out to your entire database, perhaps somebody you haven't talked with in a long time, that might be a good way to spark some conversation and get them working with you, or saying, hey, no thanks Rochelle for touching base. We've actually decided to put our search on hold. Any response is a good response. And that's the way I look at it when I'm emailing or setting up a communication plan for my leads. Over 70% of your appointments will come from lead follow-up. So you've got to come up with a plan, not just I'll send in one email and that's it. You need to have a good follow-up plan so that your first contact is not your last. You want approximately about 6 to 8 emails on a regular basis going out by you to that client, and hopefully personal sounding. Hopefully some that maybe we've provided to you. I've provided some to those of you who have joined in the last probably 3 to 4 months. And you can take those and tweak them and make them your own. But those are some of the emails that I've used in the past to get the leads to respond. If you're not getting responses, you may want to look at the length of the email. You may want to look at what the content says. And maybe you want to tweak it and make it your own. The more personal sounding those emails come across to the leads, the better they're going to get responded to. Each week, just like we talked about last week, you're going to want to look at your number of leads that you've added, and you may want to make it a priority to send something out to them just to, you know, let them know, you know, give them some value, give them something you know, something of value that they can consider, and then also provide a call to action. Something that's, I spent about 3 months in one of my last real estate companies working with agents who wanted to spend time in adjusting that first email that they sent out. Instead of having to, you know, wonder, is this client getting my emails? We worked on their first email and really personalized that first email, and I saw the difference that maybe one agent made, and they thought, I don't know why I'm not getting responses. And by spending more time and crafting an email that sounded like them, made it personal sounding, maybe added a little bit of humor or a little bit of content or some sort of thing of value in that email, what's in it for that buyer? All of a sudden, that change happened, and it took only a couple months to make that change occur. So if you're finding that, gosh, I never get email responses from my clients, I never have that type of result, then you need to look at your first email and start from there and adjust that first before you start working on the others that go out on your behalf. Let's go ahead and jump into what to say on the phone and some ideas on what you, kind of scripting you can use to connect with your buyers. And if you just bear with me for a minute, I'm just going to switch gears here. There are some really good questions that you should consider when you're connecting with your leads. I also have a voicemail strategy that I used, and it was very effective, and it consisted of 6 different voicemails. If you'd like the voicemail strategy I use, you're welcome to email me, and I'd be happy to send that over to you. But I want to talk specifically about the questions that you want to ask when you're on the phone with a prospective purchaser or buyer. And your qualifying questions may be different, obviously, if they're looking to sell a home, but we're specifically talking about buyers today. So when we talked about are they ready, are they willing, are they able, before you even start in with the qualifying questions when you're on the phone with a prospective purchaser, you first want to set up an objective for yourself. What are you trying to obtain from this buyer? What are you trying to do? Ultimately, when I'm making phone calls and prospecting for new business, I want to know when I can follow up with that lead, or I want to have an appointment with that lead. So I'm not into the conversation just to chit-chat about their home search. I'm really in it to get to the objective, which is let's cut to the chase. Let's go ahead and schedule either a time to meet, or I want to know when it would be a better time to talk with you about your home search. So those are my 2 goals or my 2 objectives when I go into the call. My mindset is focused around that. And then I build my questions so that I get to the objective. So number one thing that I do when I'm on the phone is I really want to warm it up, do an icebreaker of some sort. So, you know, I'd say, hi, Debbie, this is Rochelle with Best Choice Realty. I wanted to connect with you. I got your name and number from a good friend of ours who said you were looking to perhaps get some more information about homes in the Puyallup area. And then the person's like, oh, yeah, I know Cheryl. I'm like, oh, fantastic. You know, we actually, you know, go to the same quilting club, and we have interacted about what you're looking to do, and perhaps I can give you some more information as we go along. And that kind of warm up the call. You need to basically provide a reason why you're calling, or just simply say, you know, I'm calling to how's your day going? Something warm. You need something warm and friendly at the very beginning. And then once you get there, you feel like the call is, you call them at a good time and you're ready to connect with them, then that's when you should start asking some different questions. The questions that you ask when you're talking with a buyer really is related around questions that keep the call open. And when I say open, I mean open-ended questions, questions that are really around not a yes or no answer, but where the client is talking more than you're talking on the phone. So the questions that I can provide you if you want to send me an email, is questions that I'm going to go over tonight and kind of walk you through some of the ideas that I have around willing, ready, and able. Once you've established, are they willing, are they ready, and are they able, then they're a hot client. But it takes several questions in order to get the result that you want and to determine are they hot, are they warm, are they cold. If they're hot, my goodness, we should be out looking at homes with them and scheduling an appointment. If they're warm, we're going to need to find out when we can follow up with them. And if they're cold, we may just want to put them on our email drip system, and when they're ready, they'll contact us. But they're going to constantly get emails from you on a month-to-month basis. So the first question after I warm up the call is, you know, what areas are you specifically looking in? Is it only Puyallup, or are there some other areas you would be interested in? And the prospect would probably say, no, actually, Puyallup would be great, but we're open to other areas such as Graham and Spanaway. And I say, fantastic. What type of property are you looking for? And they said, well, we need to have a rambler. You know, we're getting up there in age, and we need to have a place for, you know, our quilting, that we can put our quilts out, you know, in a big space, but also have a room where we can entertain. So again, I'm looking for, that client was looking for a rambler, but asking the question, what type of property are they looking for, is a very good one to get the process started. What are some things that you definitely do not want in a property? Well, we don't want to be close to our neighbors. We want some space. Again, you're going to get them talking. There are several questions. There's approximately, I think I have 10 or 11 questions that I've used throughout the years that you could insert or build a script around. What I would recommend doing is coming up with 3 to 5 questions in the willing category to really build a script that you can basically have by your computer or by your phone, and where you are just going to ask the questions and write down their responses and basically build their profile. Even if you think you know what they're looking for, if they came from the internet or they came from a lead and the internet provider said, hey, this lead is looking anywhere in Puyallup under 300,000, don't take the word for it. Oftentimes, you need to ask the question and confirm your understanding of exactly what type of property they're looking for, what area, and what price range. Okay, so that's all in the willing category. As you kind of gather the information and build this profile, you're going to want to move into the ready category, which is, and again, you don't say, hey, I'm moving into the ready category. That's kind of, you just kind of let the conversation flow utilizing the question. So as you move into this category, you're going to want to ask questions around their readiness. What properties have you seen already? And if the person says, well, I've seen, you know, we went to a couple open houses last weekend, you could then say, well, did you sign anything with another broker? Well, no, we didn't. We just were kind of shopping, window shopping. Well, fantastic. How many properties did you say you saw? Well, I saw about 2. Okay. How long have you been looking for a property? Well, we just looked this last weekend. We really haven't gone out any more than that. Okay. What kind of things would have to happen for you to make the move? So that's really saying, are they renting? Are they buying? Are they having to wait for a settlement on maybe pending litigation that they are working on? Maybe it's inheritance. Again, you don't know. So what things would have to happen for you to make the move? Well, we'd have to wait until January until we get our taxes done for 2015. Again, let them tell you. Ask some open-ended questions to get that process started, to understand their time frame. Once you understand their readiness, or you've asked a few questions, I'd say 2 or 3 are adequate in the ready category, then you'd move into the able category, meaning you're going to want to find out, do they have the means to qualify for this? Some of the real estate agents that have had lending experience often make the mistake of going right to the able section of their interviewing process on the phone, and that's where they lose buyers. You want to really warm it up with willing questions and readiness questions and really get a good profile established before you ask them, are they pre-approved? And I would certainly get out of saying, are you pre-approved? The answer to that question is simply yes or no. And we want to keep the conversation as open as possible. So the better way to ask that question than to say, are you pre-approved, is to say, who are you working with on your financing? That's a much better open-ended question than saying, are you pre-approved? So get out of the habit, or if you've been trained improperly, or you were working prior to 2008 when that was very common, just to get cut to the chase and ask that question. We're sensitive more to finding this information out, but doing it more so in a friendlier way. So what type of loan will you be using? Who will be working on your financing? What type of loan consultant would be the best fit for you? What type of monthly payment would you like to stay within? These are all open-ended questions that get the buyer talking, and that's what you ultimately want to do. You know, they'll start talking, you know, we really haven't started the process, Rochelle. We've been so busy. You know, my husband works swing shift, and I'm just home, you know, working on my quilting business, and we really haven't started that process. You know, we could use some advice on where to go. And then I could insert and say, Fantastic. I have a few contacts that I can put you in contact with. You know, what type of loan consultant would you look for? Well, we want something that's going to get us the best rate and have the best interest rates and really do a good job at following up with us. Okay, fantastic. I have just the person. Would it be all right if I have her call you and schedule a time to discuss your financial needs and give you an estimate of what you're looking at? Oh, that would be fantastic, Rochelle. Would it be all right if I have that person call you in the next 15 minutes? Certainly, usually is their response. So again, it's a very warm call, and on average, if you're doing a good job with your conversation with a buyer, you should spend on average of 10 to 15 minutes on the phone with them and gathering the information, on letting them talk and express to you what they're looking for and what their plans are and how they're planning to do this. Once you have the information from my little mock-up session they just did just now, I determined that particular lead that I referred to is a warm lead. And so I'm going to need to follow up with them, obviously right away, to make sure that they connect with the lender that I'm going to put them in contact with. And then what I'll want to do is schedule a follow-up perhaps later on in that week to make sure that connection was made. So I want to follow up with my lender and also follow up with the client to make sure that that connection was made and that they're on the right track. Past that point, it's a matter of establishing and finding properties that meet their needs. Again, I would put them in the warm category, and it's making sure that they're in contact with me when new properties come on the market or when something meets their needs. So I may want to create another, you know, hot sheet for myself on the MLS for that particular area and price range. I may want to stay very connected with the lender so that I know the moment they get pre-approved for a price. Once they have a price in their head and they know that they can go and the pre-approval letter is issued, it's go time, and they turn into a hot lead very quickly. So don't take their word for it, especially if they say, oh, well, we're not thinking until January. Things change after they start talking with the lender, and oftentimes if you're not following up or doing a good job with connecting the dots on that point, you may often lose the buyer, and they'll go to some other agent that's more proactive than you. Our goal really is to call every lead at the exact moment that they're thinking about making a decision to look at a home or get the value of their current home. But how often does that really happen? Most of the time, you're going to catch the person at a bad time. So it's not a bad idea to say, is this a good time to talk? And they say, no, Rochelle, it's actually, I just settled in, you know, we just got home. Okay, no problem. When can I call you back? Or when can I text you and we can talk about your real estate needs? Making sure that you're having a good conversation is more important than contacting them at the exact moment. That rarely happens, although it would be ideal. It rarely happens. So most of the follow-up is done by several points of contact in connecting to the buyer. I think that's pretty much what I wanted to cover tonight. There are several different prospecting plans that you can use that other CRMs will have that you can, you know, take and make your own. I would personalize for the most part. I hope that came out loud and clear, and follow up with them in a personal way rather than letting the system do it for you. Most top producers have created a very systematic way of following up with their clients, and that's why they're a top producer. It's because they've taken their business seriously and have come up with a plan that makes sense for them. It may be different than mine, and that's okay. It's the consistency and the follow-up that makes all the difference in the world. So good luck, you guys, this week. Have a wonderful starting to get into fall, so things are starting to shift a little bit, but hopefully that will open up some more doors and get your buyers more opportunities to write contracts. There's still very, very hot pockets up in Bellevue on the east side, but I have noticed a little slight trend in Seattle where it's opened up some opportunities for some of our buyers. So don't think that the real estate market has slowed down, but it has slightly shifted a bit in some areas, providing more opportunities for your buyers. So good luck out there. If you have any questions or need some of the supplements we talked about today, just go ahead and shoot me an email to Rochelle@bestchoicerealtywa.com, and I'd be happy to share some of the questions that I use, some of the scripting that I use for buyers, sellers, or even the voicemail strategy that I use when I was selling. It still works to today. Okay, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye.